Good morning. My name is Caleb Bauman, and about a month ago, Dr. Kuhn asked me if I would be willing to share my testimony in the Senior Testimony Chapel. And since then, I have had the privilege of thinking and reflecting and writing and rewriting and interceding in the presence of God, listening to his voice and hearing what exactly he would have me share with you guys this morning. And I'm sure that Rachel can attest to that as well. And because of that, I'd like to start this morning by saying thank you to everyone in this room for giving me another reason to seek and find the heart of God. Each person in this room is a reason to seek and find the heart of God, and to give someone a reason to seek and find the heart of God is to give a gift of incredible worth. Your lives are gifts of incredible worth because your lives have inspired me to seek and find God's heart. So thank you for being people that are worth seeking and finding God's heart for. I would also like to commend and honor all of the faculty and staff at Crown because they have made a lifestyle out of seeking and finding and imparting God's heart on the behalf of Crown students like you and me. Day in and day out for years, the faculty and staff here at Crown choose to draw near to the heart of God so that they can share God's heart in this place. So to all of the faculty and staff, thank you for being obedient to a noble call, to the call of seeking, finding, and imparting God's heart. I am thankful for the time I've gotten to spend at Crown because I have been able to receive God's heart, which you have been faithful to impart. And now this morning, I'm excited to imitate you as you have imitated Christ because I get to do one of my favorite things. I get to share God's heart with the people in this room. So if you are in this room right now, I believe that God has something for you this morning because I have seen it in the quiet place and I now get to draw attention to it in the public place. I've seen the Lord in the quiet place on your behalf and I now get to put him on display here in the public place. And there are so many faculty and staff and students at Crown that carry powerful, powerful testimony. So I am honored and humbled to be able to share the testimony that God has given me with you all this morning, and I do not take this opportunity lightly. Revelation 12 says, "And they have conquered him being Satan, they have conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their own lives even unto death." And a few verses down in verse 17, it says that Satan goes to war on those who keep the commandments of God and who hold to the testimony of Jesus. I didn't plan this, but as we hold the light, we hold the testimony of Jesus. I get to hold the testimony of Jesus this morning, but it is not just by my words with which I testify to Jesus Christ alone that victory and overcoming and conquering is established in this place this morning. It is by the blood of the Lamb. They have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. When the Lamb's blood was spilled, the power of God's love was revealed. And I am only standing here today because I have witnessed and experienced the power of God's love. I do not love the life of Caleb even unto death because even at my very best, the life of Caleb was still leading to death. Before the Lord took my life, I was suicidal, depressed, angry, arrogant, addicted, and alone, and susceptible and enslaved to every sin humanity has ever made. And yet I get to stand here today alive and able to overcome this world and the things of this world only because of the power of the Lamb's blood that was spilled to me. Spilled for me. It is only by that Lamb's blood that I am free from my life. So of that Lamb alone, who is Jesus Christ, I will testify. Holy Spirit, come, let us be moved by you. Holy Spirit, you are the powerful presence of God here with us today. Father, let us be defined by your word. Father, you alone are the source of truth, and your word is living and active and available to us today. So Jesus, have your way. You are the one in whom the fullness of God's powerful spirit was fully pleased to dwell, and you are the embodiment of every true word that the Father has ever declared. So Jesus, be glorified and have your way in this place this morning. When God created the heavens and the earth, in the beginning, he made Adam and Eve with a very similar capacity and nature to those big projector screens behind me. Those screens can only display the image that shines them on them. In and of themselves, those screens can reveal nothing. The words and themes and colors we see up there have simply come to rest upon those screens. The screens themselves have produced none of it. They're just blank canvases. But when the light of the projectors shines upon those screens, the image of that light is revealed upon those screens. When God made humanity, he grabbed a handful of dust, the blankest canvas you can imagine, and he breathed his spirit inside of that dust and declared his image and likeness to rest upon and be revealed through that dust. There's nothing special about that dust that God grabbed, but when the Almighty God of heaven and earth came close to the dust and let his own face shine upon that dust revealed his image and likeness. When those screens behind me are exposed to the projectors behind them, the image the projectors emit is displayed upon the blank canvas. Not by the power of the screens, but by the power of the light with which those screens have been illuminated. It was not by the power or the wisdom of the dust, but by the wisdom and power of God. By the wisdom of God and the Father's omniscient word saying and declaring, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness." And by the power of God, the Holy Spirit's omnipotent presence. And through God, the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the supreme union of spirit and truth, in whom all things were made, that handful of dust revealed the image and likeness of the infinite God. But what would happen if we put a dark sheet over that screen? What would happen if something blocked the light from shining upon that screen? What would happen if we took that screen away from the projector and put it in a dark closet? What if the screen was put in a place where only darkness had its way and where the light could not shine upon it? Surely that screen would no longer display the images from the projector like it had before. Perhaps if there had been a powerful enough exposure to the images from the light, it could be burnt into the screen, but eventually even those traces would fade away. The screen is completely dependent upon the presence and the light of the projector in order to reveal the images it was meant to reveal. What would happen if humanity was covered by a veil? What would happen if something blocked the image and likeness of God from shining upon humanity? What would happen if we took humanity out of the presence of God and put them in a place where they no longer had access to the fullness of him who set his glorious image and let it rest upon them? What if humanity was in a world of darkness that clouded them from the light? Surely humanity would no longer display the image of God like it used to. Perhaps there would be a remnant glow reminding them of the light they used to know, but the light of life would eventually burn out and fade to death for all of humanity to come. Humanity is completely dependent upon the author and perfecter of life in order to reveal the life it was meant to reveal. So it was of supreme importance that Adam and Eve remained in the presence of God. If they did not, they would surely die because there is no other source of life-authoring words and life-giving power except Christ, who is supremely the life-authoring word of God and supremely the life-authoring, life-giving power of God. But as the story goes, they did not remain in the presence of God as they were intended to. A veil was put over humanity. Something did block the image and likeness of God from shining on that dust. Humanity was taken out of the presence of God and put in a place where they no longer had access to the fullness of him who let his glorious image rest upon them. They were cursed to live in a fallen world of darkness, where the brilliance of God's glory could only be experienced as a dimly lit ember that it would inevitably fade to black. Not by God's doing and not by the work of the Satan, the serpent, though he is the father of the fallen world. No, it was by the authorization of man. Humanity declared unworthiness over themselves, and so they became unworthy. Adam and Eve declared that they were unworthy to be in the presence of God. When they took the fruit and ascertained the ability to define good and evil for themselves, they defined themselves as evil in the presence of the Lord and thus in need of separation from the Lord. The righteousness of God can be attained in no other way than by God's own wisdom and power So even the most brilliant description of good that Adam and Eve could have defined themselves by would have fallen so infinitely short of the goodness that is found in God alone. And so Adam and Eve obviously saw themselves as evil in the presence of the Lord, and nothing evil can endure the presence of the Lord. So they covered their shameful, sinful, dusty bodies, hid from the presence of their Creator, who is life, and surely authorized their own death. And this is where my story begins. In the world, in the midst of a world of darkness where light no longer shines on the dust like it used to. In fact, in the human heart where the glorious image and likeness of God had once shined, now a crushing darkness and evil in comparison is the only image available for human hearts to reflect. The things of this world are not the things of God. God's word and power are life. Apart from him, there is no life. And this world does not know God. So this world has no life. And therefore, there is no life in this world for humanity to reflect. Where life-giving glory once brilliantly shone, now only death-giving darkness clouds the eyes of humanity. The wisdom and power of humanity are utterly futile in their hope of matching the wisdom and power of God, and in doing so, hope to escape this world and be reconciled to their Creator and live. All the wisdom and power of humanity are only able to sin and fall so short of the life that is found fully only in Christ Jesus. And I was not an exception. I am not an exception. In this world, every plan I made for myself was a failure, and I knew it. Every good deed I tried to do was death at best, and I knew it. I grew up biblically literate, but in my wisdom and power, I could not understand, nor could I become the good I knew I had to be in order to be with God. I was hidden from the Lord because he was good and I was not. I was covered in a veil called my sin and shame, unable to find the light I was meant to reveal. Everywhere I searched, only darkness was what I found. I only found darkness and evil and sin and shame, which just pushed me closer and closer to the death I was destined to die. I looked through relationships, jobs, friends, family, future, and nothing satisfied. Meaningless, meaningless, all of it was meaningless, and I hated my thoughts, and I hated my abilities, and I hated anyone who agreed with me, and I hated anyone who disagreed with me even more. But most of all, I hated myself. I hated my own life. I didn't want my life. I knew that all my life could ever amount to was death, so I was ready to cut to the quick and just die. Death was the only future I could earn for myself, and I was ready to get my wages. But the love of God is revealed in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. While I was a sinner, while I was sinful, dirty, just, while I was clothed in a veil of total darkness and depravity, which I had made for myself, while I hated God, Jesus died so that he could get close to me in death. He said, if you can't make a way to be with me, I will make a way to be with you instead. And in a lonely moment in January of 2015, the demonic, hopeless, hateful self-talk that ran the airwaves of my mind was interrupted by a divine declaration by which sin, death, and Satan himself are overcame. God said, Caleb, I love you. Caleb, I love you. Caleb, I love you. Caleb, I love you. And if you want to throw your life away, throw it to me and I will gladly catch it. Give your life to me and I will give you my life in return. Where you were once bound by depression, I will give you joy. Where you were once enslaved to anxiety, I will give you rest. Where you were once a slave to sin, you will be my righteousness. Where you once revealed the depraved mind and power of man, I will place my image and likeness in you once again. Where eternal death once knocked at your door, swing wide the gates of heaven. Death is not your future anymore. Where you once felt worthless, I have paid the highest price, which is the life of Jesus Christ. The work of Jesus Christ puts us in right standing with God. When those screens behind me are rightly standing in front of their projectors, they are illuminated by the light with which they were intended to display. By the power of the blood of the Lamb who died to reconcile us to himself, I can rightly stand before my Heavenly Father and put his image and likeness on display as a son by faith. By faith, I believe that Jesus has proven his surpassing power of God's love to be stronger than any veil of sinful humanity or any evil desire I devised for myself or any death that I could ever find myself dead in. Because I believe that Jesus endured my sin and shame and he died the death meant for me and it did not lay claim to him. 3 days after Jesus entered the grave, he rose again. He rose again from the dead I created, proving once and for all that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus or our Lord, for he has overcame it all. God's love for us is stronger than any sin or evil or death or hate we have against him. By the power of God's love, Christ reconciled us to himself while we were his dead enemies, so that he could save us by the resurrecting, life-giving spirit he poured out. We think that God cannot look upon sin, but really sin cannot look upon God. We were hidden from the presence of God because we had defined ourselves as unworthy. But in a covert rescue mission, the God of the universe clothed himself with the likeness of man and wore our sin and death camouflaged so that we might stand before him and feel no shame. And as we finally stand before the Almighty God without shame in death, he is able to embrace us as he did in the garden and reinstate and redeem his sovereign covenantal promise for our lives. He beholds the dust he made so long ago and says, "This is very good." He says, "Let my light shine out of the darkness." He says, "By my wisdom and power, my image and likeness will be displayed even on the canvas of sinful dust." He says, "This will be my temple." He performs spiritual CPR saying, "Receive my breath of life just as I breathed my spirit into your lungs so long ago." He says, "I will make my dwelling among you and walk among you and I will be your God and you shall be my people." When the Spirit of God dwells in humanity, there is nothing that can separate us from the one who shines his image and likeness upon us, because he is not like the projector that is out there, vulnerable to the veils of sin and death that would block us from his presence. Instead, he lets his Spirit dwell inside our hearts and project his true image and likeness upon us from within. We stand in a time in history when God has humbled himself so that humanity can come close and be reconciled to him and live. Christ has humbled himself so that we can come close and be reconciled to him and live. But there will come a day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in the incomprehensible glory of all his majesty, and to those who are clothed in his image, there will be rejoicing, for they will draw even closer to their God. But to those who are still clothed in their human depravity alone, they will run from his presence once again. But this time, it'll be too late. They will run to a place where there's complete darkness and where there is eternal and infinite separation. And the fullness of their evil will overtake them, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I tell you the truth, the time has come. If you want to receive the new life that is in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name and be defined by the truth of God's word in Jesus' name. By faith, I believe, accept, walk in, and testify to this new life which has been given to me by the power of the Lamb's blood that was spilled, who met me in death and who holds me in his glorious life. To Jesus Christ be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Dr. Peter.